This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek, coming to you live from Road to the Horse in the All-Tech Arena at the Kentucky Horse Park. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning and the Western Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network for March the 14th, episode 870. This episode is brought to you by the generous contributions of Kentucky Performance Products and Cashel Products. Good morning, Horse World. Don't miss Road to the Horse International 2014 at the Kentucky Horse Park, March 14th through the 16th for the World Championship of Colt Starting. Watch Dan Spears from Australia, Antoine Clo from Switzerland, Jonathan Field from Canada, and the first ever Road to the Horse wildcard competitor. They all face off to see who will walk away with the title of World Champion. Watch, learn, and be inspired to reach a higher level of horsemanship at Road to the Horse. Plus, enjoy our largest shopping experience yet. Find out more at roadtothehorse.com. That's right. We are at Road to the Horse. And if it's a little noisy here, it's because we're in one of the hallways that's off the arena and they're getting everything prepared for the start of the activities today. And also, all of the food vendors seem to be going by with their very noisy carts. So you'll hear those as the day goes on, too. I am joined today and very happy to be joined by my co-host from straight from New Zealand here about 2 weeks ago, Ellie O'Brien, who's a horse trainer and a friend of the Horse Radio Network and a regular guest on the Stable Scoop Radio Show. Howdy, Ellie.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me again, Glenn.
You're welcome. Now, you have to speak up a little bit yet. Okay. Use your outdoor voice,
yeah.
Ellie. Well, we are happy to have you here. This is your first Road to the Horse as well.
Yeah, this is my first Road to the Horse, so I'm really excited to be here, and it was great that it just so happened to fit in perfectly with my trip over.
And Ellie is a natural horse trainer, but in a little different twist. Most of the guys here who are natural horsemanship trainers are wearing cowboy boots and big belts and, big 10-gallon hats. You actually wear riding breeches and English boots.
Yep, in the truck I've got my boots and my long boots and my helmet, so I'm a little bit different, but we're all trying to achieve the same thing, so that's the main thing.
Well, and it is interesting too, because a lot of the breeders on the dressage side and the jumping side and things like that, the ones who breed and also compete don't like to start their own horses, because that's a whole different ball game than training them up after they're broke.
Yeah, that's right. And so I fit in really well to work alongside them and get them the results and all the basic foundations that they need to then carry on to either create a show jumper or a dressage or a ventus. So it works really well, and I love doing it.
Well, very good. We're going to talk more about what you're doing here and why you're here. You're here with one of the competitors of this competition, actually.
Yep, I'm here with Dan Spears and the Double Dan crew this weekend. So I've just been helping out quite a bit with the horses, all of the behind-the-scenes stuff like mucking the stalls and packing up, and we've been riding them out in the morning. So that's been really neat. And just
you've gotten to ride at the Kentucky Horse Park, which most people don't get to do, and it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it is gorgeous. I was kind of like riding around there thinking, I'm riding at the Kentucky Horse Park.
And that's just, Ellie just moved here. She moved to Charlotte a couple of weeks ago to the United States with her significant other, who is a NASCAR driver.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool, too.
Yep. We're a busy couple.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Road to the Horse and how it all works for the listeners who are not, who haven't been here before or don't know what it is. Road to the Horse is the premier, sort of like the Super Bowl of colt-starting competitions in the world now.
Yeah.
And it is a colt-starting competition. What will happen is there's two parts to this competition. The main part that starts today, there are three clinicians, three horse trainers / clinicians, and those three are Dan Spears, who is out of Australia.
Yep, that's
And then we have Jonathan Field, who is out of Canada. And then we have Antoine Klo, who is out of Switzerland. So, and I'm sure I'm butchering his name. You have a better way to say it? I don't.
I think that's how they said it.
So. Antoine Klo? Oh, good, because I had no idea. But we're going to have Antoine's wife on a little later on, and she doesn't speak English. So we have a first for the listeners today. We actually will have an interpreter here that will interpret everything back and forth. So that'll be fun. We'll have your accent. We'll have the French going on. I think she speaks French. So those are the competitors today. And what they're going to do is there has been what's called a remuda, which as far as I can tell is a gaggle of horses that have been brought in. And they're untouched. Yeah. They're off a ranch in Texas, which is well known for breeding some of the finest quarter horses in the world. And that is the Four Sixes Ranch in Texas. They breed horses for racing, for competing, and for general ranch work.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. And their horses are actually well-bred and can be very expensive horses that they bring in here. So there's, what, 20 of them down there?
Yeah, 20 or so horses. And this is the most that they've ever brought along with them to the event. So, and I heard that this is the best lot of horses that they've brought along as well. So it's going to make for an exciting event.
Now, these horses are brought into the arena this afternoon, and what will happen is there's actually four competitors. I'll get to that in a minute. But the competitors will pick their horses, unbroke horses. Matter of fact, I don't even think they have halters on.
No halters. I think they may have had very basic handling as foals when they were branded and whatnot, but other than that, that's all they've had.
And then what will happen is they'll pick out one out of that, and that's the one they're working with all weekend here through the competition Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They will train them. There'll be three round pens or four round pens going at the same time, and you'll get to see them and watch them do the training from initial contact through to a competition on Sunday where they will ride them and compete them in a freestyle kind of competition.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. They'll have obstacle courses and all kinds of stuff set up. So that'll be fun. That's what will happen on Sunday, and that's where the winner will be determined. There's been a second part to the competition, which they did for the first time this year. And the second part of the competition is they've had a wild card. At the end of last year's competition, seven trainers picked a horse out of that remuda, brought him home, and have been training him for a year. They brought him in here yesterday and competed in a competition last night to determine which one of those trainers will be considered the wild card and will be the fourth competitor in the main competition.
Yeah, yep. So they had it all started yesterday evening when we had the beginning of the wild card competition. So, yeah, they had the reining pattern that they had to do first, and that was followed by an obstacle course. And then they threw in an extra part where they had 60 seconds to do a freestyle event where they could pick up three extra points. I think they could choose, was it to do with a bridle and saddle?
Yep.
Or saddleless, or bridle and saddleless. So that was pretty exciting.
Well, we just had somebody sit here who I've had the pleasure of seeing all weekend, who I never get to see in person but talk to all the time and hear all the time, and that's Tammy Sirance from the Western Radio Show. Howdy, Tammy.
Hey, Glenn. How are you this morning?
Good.
I just kind of was coming past and on my way to somewhere else. I've just run in circles here.
So we have the New Zealand accent, and we have the Australian Southern accent. We got all kinds of accents.
Oh, me, because I thought it was Australian.
So, Tammy, you are also involved in the organization here. What technically is your title? I don't even know.
Almost like chaos coordinator, you know. I am sponsorship director, social media, and media. So kind of, you know, communications, public relations. So, yeah, we've got a lot of great vendors here, a lot of great sponsors, and just kind of coordinating that.
Well, very good. And, you know, you actually walked around looking pretty calm all day yesterday, and I know you were dealing with
because
everything.
Because when you're at the point of exhaustion, you look calm.
Now, yesterday was actually a first time. We were just talking about the wild card. This happened for the first time. So these trainers had an opportunity to train them up for a year, and we'll hear from a couple of those in just a minute. But I did some interviews with them yesterday and chatted with them. But this was the first time. So yesterday when they competed was the first time that that's happened at Road to the Horse. And you actually had the gates open for anybody for free to come in.
We did. We did. And it was very exciting. And I was running around coordinating a lot of things. And I only saw a couple people in the stands. And I was almost disappointed. I was just like, man, nobody came to our show.
Because they were all shopping.
What I didn't realize, they hadn't opened the doors yet. That was just the people that had snuck in, you know. So it was it filled. And at the hotel when we came back, we were talking about the atmosphere. And we were just like, you know, these Road to the Horse people, they are so in the journey, and we could feel that last night. You know, it was a typical Road to the Horse, emotional crowd behind the competitor cheering that we get it every year, and it was just amazing to have that so early in the production.
It was, and you know, because it was free, I think a lot of people who had never, ever seen Road to the Horse,
mm-hmm.
didn't even know what it was,
mm-hmm.
came out.
Mm-hmm.
We had, by the way, Tammy, we had a lot of listeners stop by yesterday and say hi to me, and had heard it on your show or our show.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, a couple of them who had just been driving through, didn't know about it, heard it on the shows, and stopped by to see it yesterday.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. And they were on their way through, and they said, well, we'll just stop by the horse park and see that.
Yeah, it's hard for me, because people come up, and they're like, oh, my gosh, Tammy Schantz, how are you? And I'm like, okay, are you a radio listener? Are you a shooter? Are you from Road to the Horse? Are you a trail rider? And, you know, I'm like, okay, what hat was I wearing when I met you? The brain injury is awesome, because I can blame everything on my battery.
My wife and I have that thing that if we're going around, and she learned this early on when she got mad at me when I didn't introduce her to people, and
yes.
I said, look, if I don't introduce you, I don't know who they are.
Well, I do the same thing, but if I don't know who they are, I can't remember their name, I introduce the person, I'm like, this is, you know, whatever the person I know their name is, and then the other one should help out. So, yeah, there's ways around that.
Now, today, you know, the main competition opening ceremony starts. How much, you know, it isn't so much all the training. There's also entertainment here as well.
There is. And I had a wonderful conversation with Mary Kitzmiller and her mother. And
she's one of the wild card competitors.
Yeah, she's a wild card competitor. And she was talking about all the other competitors. And I said to her, it's such a competitive industry to be a horse trainer. And it's very hard to find somebody who has both talent and charisma. Because you can have charisma and no talent, or talent and no charisma. But you know, these wild cards were hand-picked to have both of them, and they are all so talented, and there's personalities that have developed there, and you follow them in Facebook, and it's just, it's been an amazing journey, and I feel like I know them. But one of the great things, after the event, I wandered around with Mary Watts at a press conference talking to the competitors, and she asked them, tell me about the relationship you have with your horse. And Mary Kitzmiller answered a question, and she said, Powell put his head down to me in the round pen. When I walked in, she said, I had my ranch rope, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to tackle this stick, you know, 4/6 ranch colt, you know, I'm going to give it to him. And she walked into the round pen. She said he dropped his head, came at her, and said, will you be my friend? And she's like, are you kidding? You know, I was ready for, like, you know, some rough, tough ranch horse. And she said, we're best friends. And she asked the same question to Sean Patrick, tell us about the relationship with your horse. And he answered Mary, and he said, we're best friends. He's my forever horse. He's never leaving my barn, and I love him. And that's how they answer those questions. And
I think they've all bought the horses, haven't they?
Oh, they have. They're all keeping them. And it's just, it's not how much can you cram into this horse's schedule in a year and then show the crowd. This is, tell us about the relationship. You know, tell us about the horse. What do you know? And the whole journey is a really such a deep level, more than what it looks on the surface. It's just amazing.
Mary has a very flashy Palomino who has a chrome out. Oh, he is chrome.
That's what I thought of last night. He doesn't love a cowgirl and a yellow horse.
It's my evening little girl's dream.
It is.
Yeah.
And that horse has a big white blaze all the way down his face. He's got four white socks.
Yeah.
I mean, he is chrome to the max. And then she dressed to match the horse. Did you notice her hat and everything was dressed to match the horse? It was a good package.
Yeah. We'll see who gets fan favorite today, though, because we did a text-to-vote fan favorite.
Like the American, it was like American Idol.
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be great.
Text-to-vote.
Text-to-vote.
And we don't know who won the wild card yet.
No, that'll get wrapped up today, and then that person has about half an hour to jump in the round pen. So,
wow.
And be a main competitor here.
Yeah.
One of the four.
Better be prepared. So we might have an American competitor, and we might not.
I want to – Tammy's not going to be able to answer this, but I had a favorite from last night. Did you have a favorite?
Yeah, I think I had a favorite. I had a couple of favorites.
I had a couple of favorites, too.
Yeah.
Can you answer? Are you allowed?
I probably shouldn't, but my favorites. I have three. well, I don't know if you have that many, but Sean Patrick and Joker. Joker is a very refined horse. He's very stylish, and he's sorrel, and so he's handsome.
So, sorrel horses.
I love Mary Kitzmiller because she's a girl on the yellow horse, like we said before. He doesn't love her. And I love Jim Anderson because
Jim Anderson was the crowd favorite here last night.
Yeah, yeah. But
and he did a great job. His spins were
his year to that horse. And I went and watched him win the Extreme Cowboy Race for Turity on that horse in Texas. And they tended to that horse, and they loved that horse. And just the correspondence I've had back and forth, you know how much that horse means to them. And that just makes it more amazing to watch.
Jennifer, do you have a question?
I have a quick question. Because I've not
Jenny
been to the
can't
road
hear
before,
you, but I'll translate.
Okay. for the trainer who wins the wild card, they have to go in and pick out a horse from the Bermuda just like everybody else, right?
He said for the trainer that wins the wild card, they still have to go in and pick out a new horse. They don't get to use their old horse.
That would be a competition.
Yes,
a big old three-year-old strapping gelding out there with their name on it.
I did have a listener yesterday who stopped by who asked, why not mares? Why are they all colts?
They're just geldings. I think the six is, you know, it's just what they picked for the competition, and they started with geldings. Their deal is we want to keep...
They're not prejudiced, is what we're saying.
No, okay. Texas, no. Yeah, if you can train a gelding, you'll be good. No, they want to keep it all even. They want to keep the field as even as they can in height and weight and...
Plus, they don't. They have one truck. They bring these 20 horses up in, and they really don't want to put the mares and geldings together in this gaggle of horses. Which I learned that what a Bermuda was finally, because you know us people on the English side have no idea what that
means.
It
means a bunch.
Yeah, I thought a gaggle of horses. Yeah, it's
gaggle?
It's a gaggle. Yeah,
this that's is what a class Bermuda.
Bermuda.
Class about it. Gaggle. Isn't
really, Glenn.
Something to do with like birds or.
I have no idea.
Gaggles or geese.
Well, thank you so much, Tammy, for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
Thanks
for all your help this weekend.
It's so great to be here, and it's so great to have so many great guests walking around, isn't it?
And it was fun to see the Horse Radio Network logo on the Jumbotron last night.
And you know what? I was taking photos last night for our social media, and I kept trying to get the horses as they went past the Horse Radio Network logo.
Thank you, Tammy.
Like, go home, team.
See you, dude.
See you later.
Thank you.
Oh, enjoy the show.
Thank you. Tammy Surratt, host of the Western Radio Show here on the Horse Radio Network. Well, Jennifer, you're here listening and have not been. You're still at the studio in Ocala. Do you have any other questions for us on how everything works?
I did, and now I forgot what they were. The one question was about the who picks a who, because I thought that the wild card people got to use the same horse, and I went, that's a little unfair.
Oh, no. No. They get to start over,
and
they have 3 days like everybody else.
Once everyone has picked their horse, are they all in the big arena at the same time, and are they in the arena all day long, or do they take the colts in, work with them for a while, and then leave, and then come back? How does that all work?
I think from watching just online from previous years, I think they have them all set up in there at the same time. And they get an hour, I think it is, to work on the horses. But they have set times, like they have to have a 10-minute break in there. Or is it 2 hours?
It's 2 hours each day,
hours.
I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and then when that's not going on, they have other entertainments and clinics all day long here. So there's a lot of clinicians here. We're set up right beside Richard Winter, who's a well-known clinician and actually has been on our show a couple of times. And been seeing Richard run around. Richard's one of the announcers here this weekend. He was a past winner. And, of course, for the last 2 years, your hemisphere has been a well representative because Guy McLean won last year as an individual, and then Guy McLean and who you're here with, Dan Spears, won the year before.
Yeah, well, Dan James and Guy McLean. Were the
Oh, Dan
before.
James, that's right.
And so this is Dan Spears' first year competing solo, so that'll be really neat. And Dan James is his team wrangler, so it's really neat. They've got a whole team thing going on. Yeah.
Now, what's Dan Spears, who's a competitor, what's he going to be looking for when he sees those horses? Do they check bloodlines? What do they look for?
Yep, I know that out the back they've got each of the horses, and they've got their bloodlines there, what they're sort of bred for, because although they're all quarter horses, you have your horses that are more suited to cutting horses, reiners, you've got the racing type in there. So, yeah, they look at all those sort of things. They look back through the lineage to see what other horses have been like, what they've been like, trainability-wise and everything. And then watching them out there, watching them run out in the arena in the evening, the evenings or the morning when they let them out, and just sort of seeing how they react with or respond to one another, like whether they're really pushy in the herd or whether they're kind of like slinking around the outside. So I've talked to a few of the trainers actually, and they sort of look for a horse that's confident but not too overconfident. They don't want to have the one that's the herd leader, obviously, because that would probably take a little bit more time. But also they don't want to have one that's too sensitive as well, because, you know, that's going to take a longer time as well to get on the same page sort of thing. So
I saw the one that would be Jennifer's next trail horse, because he was just standing in there as docile as could be, not getting involved. We looked at him
that's
together
right.
yesterday,
yeah.
sweet as could be, sweet face, and nobody will pick that one because...
you run the risk of the horse kind of shutting down as well, because 3 days is a lot for a young horse. So they want to sort of choose one that they think is going to be able to handle the 3 days of training.
We're going to hear a little bit more about that as we have a couple of interviews that I got to record yesterday right after this word from Kentucky Performance Products. We're going to hear from Kerry Kuhn, who is one of the wild card competitors and a trainer of note. And he had a little bit of a problem around Christmas time, he'll tell us about. And then one of the other competitors, Adam Tarpley. Jennifer, you can go ahead and play these three sound files back-to-back. Adam Tarpley will be on next. He is competing and did compete last night, so he doesn't know yet whether he's won or not. Right after these two interviews, though, we have Adam's wife, Shorty is her name. Shorty's coming over to tell us the real story behind the wild card competitors. So all of that coming up right after this word from Kentucky Performance Products. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Feeding your horse starch-laden grains can lead to colic, laminitis, and metabolic disease. Today, nutritionists are recommending the use of high-quality fat to provide healthy calories. Fat is an extraordinary energy source. It's readily utilized by the horse and contains more than 2 times the calories of starchy grains. Replacing grain with a high-quality fat supplement reduces a horse's risk of developing health problems. Equijoule Stabilized Rice Bran is an excellent fat supplement. It contains a balanced calcium to phosphorus ratio and won't cause mineral imbalances when added to the diet. Its all-natural ingredients are high in healthy fat and fiber. And best of all, horses fueled by Equijoule stay calmer and more focused on the job at hand. When you need to add healthy calories to your horse's diet, choose Equijoule. To learn more, visit Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
Well, I have Kerry here with me. Hi, Kerry.
How are you today?
Good. Now, you were one of the wild card competitors, but have had an unfortunate experience along the way.
Yes, sir. I had a horse fall on me the Wednesday before Christmas and break my leg.
Ugh.
So we took the colt that I had for this competition. We just turned him out.
It wasn't that one that fell on you.
No, it wasn't.
All
it
right.
wasn't.
So we can't blame that
one. Blame that horse. Absolutely not. So we turned him out. Like I say, that was December 18th. I've been on him one time since then, and my leg is so far behind that we've doing lots of physical therapy just to be able to get a boot on to walk around, but we're not riding horses yet.
And it must have been a pretty good break.
Well, the horse that I was riding was a pretty good sized horse, and she stumbled, and when she went down she had enough forward momentum that my left toe hung in the dirt, and it turned my foot around backwards as she rolled over on it.
Oh, so it's a clean... It broke.
So it snapped right in half. So nothing...
Every horse person out there is now cringing.
Oh, yeah, nothing a plate and 5 screws couldn't fix. So.
Oh, there you go. You're going to set off the metal detectors at the airport.
Yes, already have. Already have. Yes, sir.
So now tell us a little bit anyway about your horse. Do you think this horse would have had a shot?
Well, I think any of these horses in this competition would have had a shot. My horse in particular, because of his breeding, he was one of the last ones to be picked. He's a lot smaller than the other horses. Bred to be a really nice cow horse, but the mentality of that bloodline isn't always the easiest to get along with. What I've noticed with this horse since we've had him this year, it started rough. I mean, I told people in the beginning he was like trying to make friends with a troll. He didn't want any part of it.
Huh?
But we hauled him so many places. We hauled him all year long from California to the East Coast. And after about 5 months of that, he started looking at me like maybe I wasn't the bad guy. So, and then things really started to click. And man, I felt he was doing fantastic for what we'd done with him right up until the time I broke my leg.
And the rules were you couldn't have anybody else train him. You had to be the one training him.
Correct.
Right. So when that happened, you were out of the picture pretty much.
Right. And, you know, usually when you break your leg like that, they're telling you 6 weeks for the bone to heal. So I was thinking, okay, we lose 6 weeks. Maybe that's not that big a deal. But 6 weeks came and went, and the doctor said, okay, you can go try to do what you think you can do. And I couldn't even walk. I mean, I went every day. All I did was go to physical therapy to try to get ready for our first expo, which was 2 weeks after they took the cast off my leg. And it got through that expo, went home, crawled back on 7 for the first time in over 9 weeks. And my foot, my leg, it was broke right at the ankle. And I have absolutely no strength. I have no balance. And when I did get on him and try to put weight in that stirrup, it either hurts so bad or it simply wouldn't hold me up. So we've just been trying to build some strength back to my leg. And I mean, this is what I do for a living.
Right.
So I've got to look at this for the long haul.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, yeah. You still have to make a living after Road to the Horse.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell me, so you've seen the other horses down there. You've seen, this is the first time we've done the wild card this way. So it's the first time the wild card. What do you think of the wild card, the whole work with them for a year? And?
Oh, I think it's a fantastic idea, especially, you know, if they're trying to market these horses, for like the wild card competitors to take these horses home and train them for a year and then have something marketable that someone here in the audience could actually purchase and take home and get along with, you're looking at something that's a lot more marketable, a lot safer than maybe some of these colts that have only had 3 or 4 days.
One of the things you talked about that took about 5 months for this horse, for the light bulb to click on a little bit, that you might be somebody that's safe to be around. What is the hardest thing about training these colts from scratch? What is the thing that takes the longest? Is that initial?
Well, I think it depends on the horse. You know, some horses it's that first touch. Some horses it's trying to make that connection on the inside. And there's so many variables from horse to horse, and bloodlines make such a big difference that.
This is the first time I've actually heard you all talk about the bloodlines and really taking a look at the bloodlines, even of the Bermuda that's down there, and knowing which ones they're going to pick based on the bloodline. I never thought about that before.
Well, it's not a guarantee, but it's something that you can't just pass up because chances are that
the
DNA...
the racing industry, we've been watching that for years, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That DNA is going to be passed to some extent, so... It's something to take into consideration when you're trying to figure out which horse you want.
Now, I talked to Adam earlier, and we had him on the show just a little bit ago, and he talked about wanting a horse that was spirited and lively, and not one that was looked like it would be a terrific trail horse. He wanted just the opposite. Is that kind of what you look for as well?
It is now. I'm at a place now in my life and in my horsemanship that I'm looking for horses that. In my mind, the way I describe him is a horse that carries some life to him. Those horses that are just...
The one I wouldn't want.
Right. I mean, if you're looking for something that's just going to put his head down
and
plod down the trail.
Not kill me, yeah.
You know, in the beginning, when I was trying to learn something about horses, when I first started, those horses were a lot easier for me, and I'd get along a lot better. But once we get to a point where we need a little bit more. When you're riding a horse like that, oftentimes you're going to be asking for something they don't have to give.
Right.
So when you find a horse that's got some life to him, then you don't feel like you're limited to what you can ask from him.
Terrific. Well, it's good to see you, and I'm sorry about everything that happened. Are you at least going to get to do something this weekend?
Well, we're actually going to show him in the health and condition portion of the competition.
Okay.
So I'll at least have him out there where people can see him. And, you know, sometimes things happen in life that are outside our control. I know God's got a plan, and I'm tickled to be here. I'm glad that we were able to bring the horse. We've had so many people following him this year, so we'll at least give everybody a chance to see him.
Well, that's terrific. And, you know, we're all horse people. We've all broken something at some point or another. We can all relate to that.
Absolutely.
So. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
As I said, I'm here with Adam, and it's actually Thursday. We're recording this a little bit ahead because he's going to be busy tomorrow morning here at the Kentucky Horse Park. Adam, tell us about the horse you picked, and tell us first why you picked the horse you did.
Well, I picked him out right when he came off the trailer. He was the horse I wanted, and I had to kind of back myself up because I like a real top end of the herd kind of horse, real alpha male type of mentality, and that sometimes they don't come together near as fast as we needed them to this year. So I kind of tried to use my head, and I sat down with some of the 460s cowboys and talked to them about the horses and just made a list, and he just happened to be at the top of the list of the horses that were left. So I ended up with the one I picked off the trailer anyways. But, you know, it just worked out for us and worked out for me, and I really like him. He's still my type of horse. There's a ton of horse there, but boy, he's been kind of tough this year. He's
so you like the one that's picking on all the rest of them?
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. For me and for what I do working cattle, and some days get pretty long for us, and they've got to travel a long ways and then still be able to go to a fight, as I say, you know, with a cow, or really have a big heart and a ton of try to them, or I'll just run plumb out of horse, you know, on a long day's work. They're at the end when you really, really need one to get tough.
Is a difference between that and what might make a good trail horse for somebody.
There's a ton. Most of my horses, they make great trail horses.
I wouldn't want to take them out of the trail. Yeah.
Right, they're great for me. They'll go anywhere you point them, but you better be serious about going because they're going to go. You know, they're not impulsive. You know, they're very under control. But, you know, if you point them up a bluff or down a bluff or say go through that tree, they're going to give you everything they've got to do exactly what you want or exactly go right where you pointed them. So
now, do all the guys use that same or not?
I really don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that's what works for me. Everybody's different. They're just like people. You know, some people you've got to beg them to work and beg them to get up and go to work every day. Others are just, I mean, they don't need an alarm clock. They bounce up out of bed and go with it. And those are the type of horses I want. I don't want to beg a horse, a dog, or a person to work for me. You know, that's just me. I want them to give it to me, and I don't like to have to pull them back. But whenever I need them, I just like to be able to ask and call on them, and they'll give me everything. That's what I love about the quarter horse too. Is if you ask, they'll give you their life. If you've got their trust and you've treated them right, they will give you their life. And you've got to be real careful with that because you could, you know. It's very sensitive and very volatile, but that's what I love about them. You know?
I was watching the Remuda today. We were down, and I just spent about 15 minutes just watching them in their pen down there. And it is interesting because you can see the personalities come out in just that shorter period of time. I mean, there was one that was just so docile and sweet and everything, and I was thinking, that's my trail horse, but I doubt he's going to get picked.
Right. Yes, you know? Sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, in this competition, it's a whole different ball of wax, too, because, you know, those top-end horses, they're going to give you a little more of a fight. They're going to give you a little more. They're going to try you a little more because you're actually establishing the pecking order in his herd. You know, you're knocking them off out of that top spot. So they're going to fight you for it. You know, the trick is just to get around them the best you can without just butting heads. You know, you work with them and work them through it. And for this competition, it's a lot of pressure in a short amount of time. Where that horse may not be the right horse for this event. So, like, for me, if I was to pick one, you know, I'm going to have to back off the top, and I'll still be at the top end because I still want that much try, but not that top horse in the herd. They're just pretty tough.
Now, as we're recording this on Thursday, the wild cards go tonight in round one. What does round one consist of?
We're going to start with a reining pattern, And then each of us will make a go in that, and then we'll have a short obstacle course. They're telling us that it may be four or five obstacles, not very many, but they're sure going to be tough.
No fireworks or anything we don't know?
We don't know yet. They're not letting us know that. I hope not. You know,
we haven't trained for fireworks.
No, we haven't.
They're not going to let Tammy down there with her guns, are they?
Well, I hope not. That'll wreck my world. It'll sure screw up my program. We run away from gunfire and smoke. we're looking forward to it. We'll do a short obstacle course and then come back in for a coat and conditioning class and come back on Friday morning for the finals. And we'll see how it goes.
I mean, this is a little different for you guys, too, because a lot of you, I mean, some of you will do clinics and things, and some don't, you know.
Sure.
And then, most of you are working guys like you are. You're out there actually using your horses for what they were meant to be used for. So this is a little different, a little nerve-wracking for this.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not used to getting
really
nervous is what I'm saying for something.
I'm not. You know, somebody calls me to go catch a cow,
right,
go gather something.
Yeah, you just
bet,
do
let's
it.
Go. It's just a job. So for me, it's been a different experience, different preparation, different mental aspect of it. But at the same time, you know, I was boss wrangler for the last 4 years for Tootie, so I kind of have a little bit of feel of what it's like to be on the floor and have to still step up and do a job. I've always just had to do it in a working sense, sorting the horses, and that's what we do on the ranch every day anyways.
Right.
But this way is a little different for me because I don't show all the time. I have some short.
You have to shine your boots this time.
So right. We'll take a horse brush to them, just dust them off.
Your wife told me that yesterday. Yeah. It's funny. She said, I had to teach him how to clean a saddle.
Yes, she did.
She's going to be coming up very shortly, right after you, actually, on the show today. She's going to be joining us. Yeah, I met your mother-in-law yesterday on the plane, on the way here.
Yeah.
We flew out of the same plane.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, you'll get a laugh. I hope.
We'll hear the other side of the story here very shortly.
Boy,
she'll be like, oh, this was a pain.
Austin didn't expect them, that's for sure. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Glenn. It's good to be here.
Cut. That was great.
Perfect.
That was exactly 5 minutes. Perfect.
Awesome.
All right, we are back here at Road to the Horse. I have my co-host, Ellie O'Brien, all the way from New Zealand here sitting with me. And you just heard an interview with one of the wild card competitors here for this year, Adam Tarpley. And I have the first person I met when I walked in the building here yesterday was Adam's mother-in-law. And because I met her on the airplane on the way here from Orlando, she was on the airplane, and I said, she has to be going to Road to the Horse because she was dressed for it. And then I see this girl, and she has the biggest dog I've ever seen. And she's standing there with the biggest dog I've ever seen. And her name is Shorty, and she happens to be Adam Tarpley's wife. Hi, Shorty.
Hey, guys.
And I'll tell you what, it was nice to meet you yesterday. Tell me about the dog first.
Well, that's Vegas, and she has had quite the little fan club. Everyone pretty much stops and stares and asks all about her, and she's a lot of fun. But she's a 2-year-old Great Dane, and she's a solid blue, and she's pretty cool. She goes lots of places.
Now, is she a therapy dog or something?
She's a service dog.
Service
mm-hmm.
dog. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she had the vest on yesterday.
Yes, uh-huh.
But she's as big as you are.
Yes. She actually weighs a few pounds more than I do.
Because Shorty lives up to her name. I'll try and be delicate about it. You live up to your name.
Mm-hmm.
And
it
really is funny seeing you two together.
Yeah. Yep. I'm 5 foot tall and about 110 pounds. So, yeah, it looks kind of weird with a giant dog walking next to me.
I want to hear this from what it's been like. Now, you know, Adam's a wild card competitor, so he has had this horse since last rode to the horse for a year and have been able to train it up for a year. And the rules are that he has to do all the training himself and has to spend time with it. Jennifer wants to know, did the wild card competitors buy these horses? How did that work?
They all kind of bought them throughout the year. They didn't all buy them at the beginning.
Okay.
I believe tomorrow.
You didn't have to buy it.
You didn't have to buy them. And Adam just bought his horse, I don't know, a week or so ago, pretty here recently. And I think maybe a horse or two might be kind of co-owned with the trainer. You know, somebody else might have helped purchase the horse or whatever. I don't know the details of all that, but I believe all of the horses have been purchased by the wild cards or someone that is in relation with them.
Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
I mean, that says a lot
mm-hmm.
about
really
the horses,
nice horses.
Yeah, and the training, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Now, tell us what it's been like for you over this year.
Well.
Now, we just heard, you didn't hear Adam's interview where we were talking about you.
Oh, boy.
So.
Lord only knows. You know, it's been an interesting journey, but, you know, I was talking to one of the main clinicians that were in the last couple of Road to the Horse deals, and her and I got to talking, and she said, you know what, us wives, we do just as much, if not more sometimes, than the actual competitors are doing, because we're doing all of the behind-the-scenes deals. We don't have any staff or farm help or anything, so we're doing all of that, and then all of the marketing stuff, all of the Facebook stuff.
So you're the social media coordinator.
I am the social media coordinator and the event coordinator for Adam.
In addition to being a mom.
Right. Well, I'm not a mom.
Oh, you're not? Yes. Okay.
Nope. I have no kids, just fur kids. So four-legged
just
kids.
As much work.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
That's, yeah,
they are.
More work.
When they weigh more than you. But, yep, so no kids, but we do have lots of creatures at our house, all kinds of different animals. And, you know, it's been an interesting road being on the other side of the fence because we were part of Road to the Horse for several years. Adam was boss wrangler for four.
What's
or five
a boss
years.
Wrangler?
He's the guy who basically is in charge of the horses while they're here at the event, and make sure that they are all well taken care of,
fed and watered,
yes,
yeah.
And that they're all safe and out of harm's way, and everybody's good and safe. And he gets
on the English side, we'd call that the barn manager.
Yes, kind of the barn manager.
Okay.
Yeah, but he makes sure that, you know, the public isn't back there interacting with them, feeding them Twinkies, or doing something horrible. So he has to keep, you know, everybody.
Darn, I knew he shouldn't have fed them Twinkies yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah, that would be very bad. But him and his crew would build the pens and all of that. But now this year, since Adam's a wild card, he's not a boss wrangler, so he's not a part of any of that. So it's been a little weird because we feel like we're supposed to jump in and help, but it's not our job now. So it is a little weird.
Now, you got to see your husband compete last night. What happened last night with the wild cards, what they did is they did a short modified reining pattern. Wasn't too much shorter, actually.
No. Really.
And they didn't know what the reining pattern was going to be until yesterday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
2D Bland, who organizes this event, who is a force to be reckoned with,
right,
who I was just talking to this morning, and who runs this like a military operation. Mm-hmm. It's run very well.
Yes.
It's very well organized. 2D also decides everything that pretty much happens here at the event.
Right.
And then, so we did a reining pattern, and then they did an obstacle course, which they didn't know ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. They did not know what any of the obstacles were or anything. They had this hilarious, what they called the Flintstone car.
Yes.
And it had these big, wide wheel things. It kind of almost looked like
looked
a steamroller.
Like a Flintstone
roller.
Car. Yeah.
It kind of looked like a steamroller, like a Flintstone car, and they had it all decorated like a Flintstone car, and they would actually have the horse push that car
with the chest
to a particular marker. And so a lot of those horses, you know, like some of them didn't know, like, am I supposed to, like, move around?
Jump on it? Or
what am I supposed to do? And, you know, Adam's horse, he just went right to it and just started trotting behind it. So I was, of course, going crazy.
And they were playing the Flintstone theme music the whole time, which was fun.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah, they had the whole thing going. It was really funny. And the crowd was great. They really were. And they were loud and screaming. I might have been the loudest one.
You were. I was watching you, actually.
Yeah, we got a few pictures of that on Facebook, too.
Let me just say, too, that this is not a dressage audience, is it, Ellie?
No. Not at all.
It's kind of more like NASCAR as far as the energy.
Yeah. It's loud and it's fun. Music's blaring.
Oh, yeah. And they're the best people. And they come over and over again to Road to the Horse. You know, so many of them, once they start coming to Road to the Horse, they come every year, and or they try to. So you talk up to about 80% of the people in the crowd, and they've been here more than once.
It's interesting because we've done a couple of shows on that. We're totally off topic here. Let's continue with, before I do that, let's continue with the obstacle course. They did something I haven't seen that's very difficult. They tripped a couple of the horses up last night. They had 5 minutes to do this obstacle course of all these different obstacles. One of them was they had to back onto a teeter-totter.
Yes.
And, you know what a teeter-totter is from when you were a kid. It goes up and down in the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this plank that was not 2 foot wide and long enough for a horse, and it was a teeter-totter. And they had to back onto it. I've seen horses walk onto it. backing onto a wooden plank that goes that's a teeter-totter was difficult.
Yes, it was. And it wasn't really very wide either.
No, it was like 2 foot wide.
Yeah, it was pretty narrow. It was pretty narrow, and it was definitely a challenge. I think all the trainers handled it really well as far as waiting on the horses, and nobody got in a big hurry and all those good things. They also had a little balance beam that they had to walk down. And that didn't look very wide from my perspective either.
No, that looked like about a foot wide.
Yeah.
And it had slats, so it was open. It was like a,
it was
different.
Yeah, yeah. And it would have been really easy for the horses to walk around it or whatever. So that was challenging. And then they had the long pole on the ground, and they had to have their right feet on one side of it and their left feet on the other, and they had to kind of...
And that's harder than it looked for a horse, too.
One actually was a lot harder than what it appeared.
Tell me about the trailer. And all of these obstacle competitions have a loading thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we all know that loading's one of the easiest things we teach a horse to do. so what was the idea of that?
I don't know all of the details with it, but I know that they were, I think, allowed to have two tries to send the horse in the trailer.
Yeah, you had to dismount, and basically you wanted the horse just to get on.
Yeah, to get on. And they
without
had
help.
Different point markers set out so that they would get more points for the farther away the rider was from the trailer. And so that was pretty funny. Adam, of course, was very comical with it. And Big Gundry was looking at him like, really? We have to get in another trailer? We just got here. So it was pretty neat. But I believe it was for how far back they were that they could gain extra points. So it was pretty good. And some of it was kind of tricky.
Yeah, Mary Kitzmiller, I noticed, was Kevin to just do a little coaxing with the reins to get the the horse on the trailer. That was interesting.
Yeah. It was a really cool obstacle course. It really was. And they had to back through a zigzag.
Yes, with 90-degree turns. Yeah, and that was about 2 feet wide, too.
Yeah, it was fairly narrow. And they had a ball set at the end of it, and they had to push the ball out of the zigzag with their rear end. And they had to, like, back into that ball. So for a lot of horses, that would have been pretty tricky. But all the horses looked like they handled that pretty well. So I'm assuming that most of them have probably seen one of those big, giant balls before, but...
Most of us have backed up our horses in a zigzag pattern, not on purpose.
Exactly.
Very rarely do we do that on purpose.
Exactly.
Ellie, you've never done that, have you?
Try not to.
Thank you so much for stopping by. It's been a pleasure meeting you this weekend and meeting your mom.
She's a good horse show mom.
And she, by the way, is the original Shorty.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're Shorty Junior.
Most of my friends actually call her Mini-Me because she's a little smaller than me. So, yeah, I hold the Shorty title, but she's actually smaller.
Well, best of luck. We don't know if Adam won yet. We'll know that this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope he got the fan vote. And he's a super nice guy. Super, super nice to meet you, too.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, that was Adam Tarpley's wife, one of the wild card competitors. I don't even know her real name. It's just Shorty.
It's a secret.
I don't think anybody knows the real name. Adam might not even know. we have our next guest, actually, is in the wings. Hey, Shorty, can you do me a favor? Can you run over and tell them that we're ready? Thank you. Putting Shorty to work here. So, you know, it is interesting to hear it from the wife's point of view, isn't it?
It is. It's really interesting. And I guess I've seen a little bit of that over the last few days being here. So... I can't imagine what it's been like over the last year, so that's pretty cool.
And they were all super excited and super, that's when I was watching the wives, they were all in one section, and they were all super excited and cheering and carrying on, and they were having a good time. Well, our next guest up here, this is going to be the first time we've ever done this, and guys, you'll have to be about 1 inch from the microphone, real close, so you'll have to bend over a little bit. This is actually the first time we've done this. We have Alicia here with us. And Alicia's going to be our translator because we have Antoine Clo's wife here.
Yep.
And how do you say your name again?
Maud. M-A-U-D.
Okay. And so Alicia's going to translate for us today.
She's
going to try to do her best. And we're going to find out what it's like. And he's one of the international competitors here. And is one of the main competitors going to be picking out his horse this afternoon out of the Bermuda and getting started on his training. Can you tell us a little bit about your husband and how long he's been training? And
Alors Antoine, c'est quelqu'un qui a découvert les États-Unis il y a 20 ans en arrière. Il a beaucoup voyagé et il a eu la chance de rencontrer des gens comme Martin Black, Ryan Hubbert et plein d'autres encore qui l'ont formé. It's a long sentence. So Antoine has been discovering, he's been traveling to the United States for a long time, for the past, 20 years. He's met people like, what were
Martin
the names?
Black.
Martin Black.
Ryan Hubbert.
Another one, the big one. I can't
remember. I know he got to meet Buck Brannaman. I do know that.
Yeah.
And one of his first trips here, actually. Yeah.
I think that was one of his first trips, actually.
He wears the same hat as Buck, actually.
Yeah.
Same type of hat as Buck.
So does Mo.
Yeah, that's right. And he's been training horses for almost 20 years, I read. Is that right?
Oui. Ben, très vite, quand il a fait ses premiers voyages, il est rentré en Europe et il a commencé à faire des premiers stages. Et il était vraiment un des pionniers en Europe pour ce mouvement des nouveaux maîtres.
He has been training horses, and as soon as he finished in the United States, he came back and started doing clinics to try. He was kind of a pioneer of this way to ride in Europe, and he's been showing, and people have been discovering what he's doing in Europe.
And reining has become very popular in Europe now, more than it has ever been in the past.
Yeah, it's huge over there.
Germany especially.
Germany, do a lot. Schumacher has stables actually not far from where we are.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Conrad. Yeah, cool. So are you a trainer as well?
Je travaille avec Antoine pour les débourrages et pour la rééducation des chevaux à problème. Donc on est au quotidien ensemble avec les chevaux.
She works with alongside Antoine and with colt starting and everyday horse training.
So how do you work together? How do you make it all happen behind the scenes? And I guess getting here to this event as well.
À la maison, donc on a un travail qui est vraiment, on prend les chevaux au travail à l'entraînement, donc les chevaux pour les débourrages et puis la rééducation des chevaux à problème. Après, il a quelques stages, mais on a vraiment un fonctionnement très simple, on est très proche de nos clients, c'est quelque chose de extrêmement familial comme mouvement.
How do you translate that? It's something that they work, they're very close to each other, and so it's something that's, I don't know how to say familial. It's very family-like. It's very.
On n'est pas une grande
very
structure.
It's not a very big structure. Mm-hmm. It's quite small, and so they work very well together.
And where do they live?
They live.
On est donc en France, à côté de la frontière.
They live next to the border in France.
Avant de Genève.
About 20 minutes away from Geneva.
On a juste acheté une ferme, en fait, maintenant qu'on a prénommé Salinas Farm en l'honneur de Tom Doran.
They just bought a farm, actually, and they named it Salinas Farm in honor of Tom Doran.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Now tell me, has he ever seen Road to the Horse before? Was he here before?
Non, il est jamais venu ici, mais il en a entendu parler. Il a vu les vidéos. Et tout.
Yeah, this is his first time here. He's seen a lot of videos, though. He did, but this is his first time.
Wow! And I know that they also do clinics here. They'll be doing a clinic for the audience. And I saw he had one of Richard Winter's horses that he was riding for the clinic. So not only does he have to do a clinic, he has to do it on a horse he doesn't know. So
yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Je pense que ça va être effectivement dur pour lui, comme beaucoup de choses, parce que là, il vient de Suisse, donc il a pas tout ce, il a pas pu se préparer aussi bien que les autres compétiteurs.
Yeah, she said it's probably, you know, it's a bit tough because he's coming from Europe and so he doesn't have everything that that he needs. I mean, coming from a tease.
Mais c'est quelqu'un qui peut super bien s'adapter. Donc je pense qu'il n'aura pas de problème à démontrer des choses avec un cheval qu'il connaît pas.
And he'll have no problem, you know, with the horse and, you know, showing, doing the clinic.
I do have a totally lost my train of thought.
I've got a question.
Okay, go ahead.
How have you found the difference between back at home and here in America?
La différence entre commencer à la maison et ici.
Je ne sais pas exactement comment mettre des mots là-dessus. Je pense que la culture est quand même extrêmement différente. Chez nous, le mouvement, ce mouvement-là d'équitation naturelle et en harmonie est en train de commencer. Tandis qu'ici, il a déjà fait ses preuves. Je pense que c'est ce qui fait actuellement la différence.
It's in Europe, it's kind of the horsemanship is kind of a new thing,
mm-hmm.
whereas over here, I mean, he's already proved himself.
Yeah.
whereas in Europe, it's quite a new thing this way to ride and yeah. horsemanship.
And natural horsemanship,
natural
especially.
Horsemanship,
yeah.
Malheureusement,
en Europe, on a beaucoup de gens qui font ça sans avoir une énorme expérience. Et qui font plus ça pour le show. Et donc, du coup, les résultats sont pas aussi transcendants, peut-être, que certains Américains ici. Les gens en sont moins, du coup, convaincus.
Unfortunately, in Europe, people do this more for show. I think also they want to try something and they don't exactly know what they're doing.
Beaucoup d'expérience.
Without a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. And c'est quoi la deuxième partie de la phrase?
Du coup, je pense qu'ils sont, c'est moins pris au sérieux que ici.
It's not as serious as it is over here.
Right.
They don't take it as seriously.
I think that's starting to change a little bit because a lot of our clinicians, I know Monty Roberts spends a lot of time in Europe and England. And
it's starting.
Yeah,
it's starting,
starting
to,
it. And there, our clinicians are starting to go over there now.
Exactly.
Yeah. And in South America, too, actually. I know Monty's spending a lot more time in South America now, which even has less natural horsemanship than Europe.
True.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually,
Brazil and Venezuela and all of those countries. You have some great horsemanship over there in Spain, and I mean, everybody knows about the Spanish Riding School, and all Americans want to go see that. And something very exciting coming to near you is the World Equestrian Games this year in England or in France.
Oh, oui.
Okay. Normandy. Yeah.
Il y a les Jeux internationaux d'équin en Normandie cette année.
Oui.
Yeah.
Oui, on a beaucoup de choses. Bah, c'est quand même en Europe, c'est quand même extrêmement développé au niveau équestre. En Suisse, la région de Genève, je crois que c'est la région où il y a le plus de chevaux au kilomètre carré en Europe.
Ouais.
Donc, il y a beaucoup de passionnés.
Horse riding is a big thing over there. Especially, I think English riding as well. And she said Geneva has the biggest horse per square feet in Europe. I mean, there's a lot of horses in the region, and yeah.
Very nice. Well, good luck today. I know you'll be out there cheering, so good luck, and we'll wish you the best, and let's hope he wins the thing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, that was fun. We'd never had a translation here on the show before. You did great, by the way.
I was like, okay.
Yay. It's hard to remember all of that, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to remember the first of that. I remember the beginning and I didn't remember the end.
So we had a first-time translator. You did good.
Thank you.
I'll tell the State Department and they can hire you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Oh, look, we got cheering. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, we have more guests coming up for you here. We have a whole bunch of them lined up for the third half hour of the show, and it was so nice to talk to them. She was wearing the Buck Brannaman hat.
Yeah, I noticed that. That was really cool.
You got to spend some time with Buck.
I did. I spent, actually, was in January in New Zealand, and then he was there 2 years before, so he's a really great guy. He's neat to spend time with and listen to all his stories. He has plenty of them.
I watched some of your training, and you do a lot. I can see Buck's influence in your training, of the videos and thing, and your riding style. You're a very quiet rider.
Yeah, and I think back before I started doing all of this, I was always told that I needed to get stronger and, all of that side of things. But as I've gone on and progressed further, I've realized that it's okay. It's good to be soft, and it's more effective than coming in strong. But, sometimes you do have to follow it up with being a little bit firmer as well.
Now, because of the movie, Buck became very popular here in the United States.
Yeah.
How about there? Is he popular there?
Yes, in New Zealand. But still, I noticed this time around there were a lot more people than the first time, last time that he was there.
So yeah, and it's the same sort of thing. Like, because we're such a small country, we don't get to see a lot of stuff. So over time, it's becoming more and more popular, and we're seeing it more in the English sports as well, competition-wise, which is really neat.
And I was going to say earlier, as we were looking around here, we've got a lot of cowboy hats. And you don't own one yet, Ellie, so before this weekend's over, you better have a cowboy hat.
I have no idea where to start.
The custom cowboy hat people around the corner, they could fit you up.
Yeah,
they could fit you up.
You
look real, really pretty in one of theirs. They're probably about $500 to start. But the Western Show, they've done some shows on the cowboy hats for the different regions, because you see so many different kinds of hats here. And that depends on what region of the country you live in. And so when you see the 10-gallon hats, and you'll see the hats like Buck wears, which have a name and I can't remember what it is, and it's what Antoine wears. He wears that kind of hat. But you can tell, if you know more than what I know, you can tell what region that somebody's from, what state they're from, by what hat they wear.
Yeah. I had heard that as well.
Unless you're a faker cowboy like me who just has a 10-gallon hat that I bought because it looked good.
Yeah, that's cool. I think I'd be one of those. So.
Yes. Well, we're going to take a break for a song. We're going to get our next guests lined up here. So, Jennifer, what song do we have today?
We're going to be listening to Born to Ride by Marianne Kennedy.
And Marianne Kennedy actually has done music for A Road to the Horse, so that's appropriate.
Yeah.
We'll be back right after this.
That I ever said, visions of galloping in my head, mane slow and tails held high, I knew that I was born to ride. I was born to ride like a bird. I was born.
That was Marianne Kennedy with Born to Ride. You can find all of her music at MarianneKennedy.com. I am Glenn McGeeky. I am here with Ellie O'Brien, and we are coming to you live from the Kentucky Horse Park, the All-Tech Arena for Road to the Horse, which starts here at the opening ceremony, starts around noontime today. And the only reason that we can be here is through the through the proud support of our sponsors, and one of our sponsors is Cashel Products. And they have kindly been part of this whole process leading up to Road to the Horse. And we have one of the Cashel reps here. His name is Ronnie Milliken, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's so good to have you here. So now tell me a little bit about Cashel and how really popular their products are in this world.
Cashel is part of the Equibrand Group. Equibrand is a holding company, which is Martin Saddlery, Classic Equine, Classic Rope, Rattler Rope, and Cashel. And Cashel is the...
I've been saying it wrong all this time. It's Cashel?
You know, just however you want to say it, it'll be fine. Just say it often.
Okay.
it's really the trail arm of what we do. We really began as a arena company, team roping, calf roping, those kind of things. Branched out into cover other disciplines. And so Cashel was a really good fit for us, moving from Washington down to Granbury, Texas, and that's where all of our headquarters are. And so that's how they fit into who we are as Equibrand.
If you're a trail rider, you know Cashel because
yes.
You've saddlebagged. We've used their fly masks for years.
Yes, sir.
And I think that's how most people probably know the product. They start with the fly mask.
Yes, sir. That's how we get into most folks' barns. We make a full line, kind of some unique products.
Tell us about a couple.
We have a mule tape halter.
A what?
Mule tape halter.
Okay.
And it's actually a product that they use to pull fiber optics with, and we tie it into a rope halter and a lead.
It's called mule tape?
Yes.
Oh.
We make hobbles.
Is it stubborn? Grains.
Of course it is. But if you train it right, it's fantastic.
That's good.
It's for a special person. But we make reins, hobbles, the rope halter out of it. Fantastic product. You throw it in the washing machine, clean it up.
Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. Well, I have been from New Zealand. I haven't heard a lot of the
cool products.
Well, that's why I'm here, to broaden your horizons.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are good products. We have fantastic pads, saddle pads.
Yeah, you do, and a lot of trail riders use the pads.
Right. We have a lot of 100% New Zealand wool tops and medical fleece bottoms. Our Featherflex cinch, which is a really high-quality neoprene. So those products have done very well for us. And, of course, as you mentioned, our saddlebags that have removable washable liners, variety of colors. So we have a full line for the trail rider.
Our producer, Jennifer, she says, what's that thing called again? A mule what?
Mule tape.
Tape, T-A-P-E.
Yes, T-A-P-E.
Okay.
Y'all are the ones with the accent, not me.
You know what? In this where we are right now, you're right. You're right. And Ellie especially.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
But it's lovely.
As we say, you're not from around here, are you?
Actually, I was talking to Ellie earlier, and I said, do you have a tough time understanding? So she just got here 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
I said, do you have a tough time understanding some of the southern accents? And what did you say?
I said, when it's slow, it's fine, but... like out there in the arena and they kind of get on a roll, it kind of just goes straight over my head. I can pick out a few words, but...
I can barely understand Ronnie. What are you talking about?
Well, from the South, we do not speak English. Okay? We understand that. We're good with it, so y'all need to get used to it.
I didn't know we were going to need... We just had somebody speaking French here. I didn't know we were going to need a translator for you, Ronnie. Or I would have.
You know, I've had a lot of folks say that. And I've improved. I'm trying hard for y'all.
It's Cashel Products, C-A-S-H-E-L,
yes,
products.com, I believe it's
yes,
the website.
Yes.
And, of course, if you come out to Road to the Horse, I know a lot of our listeners will be here this weekend. Check them out. They're in booth number, I think it's going to be number 28 or 29 or something like that.
Yes.
On the far wall. Right up from us, you'll see them.
Yes.
So you can buy some of their products there. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you letting us be a part of your program.
Very good. Thanks.
Thank you
for catching. Well, that was fun. So did you understand all of that, Ellie?
I did. I got that. Thank you.
Okay. I think it helps if they talk slower, right?
Yeah.
Well, and that's what the audience is saying about you right now. They're going, I understand most of it.
Yeah, they're like, talk slower.
But Americans love the Australian, New Zealand, British accent.
Yeah, and we love the American accent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Have a seat. We have our next guest coming up here from Boss Hoss Horsemanship, which is very hard to say. You have to come right up next to the microphone.
Okay.
And your name's Shoma, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that how you say it?
Shoma.
Okay. Well, it's Shoma. Where'd that name come from?
My name was really Linda, and I decided I wanted to change it.
Okay. So you changed it to Shoma then.
Yes.
And does it have a meaning?
It means beautiful and believes in me.
Means beautiful what? Speak believe. Up a little bit.
Beautiful and believes in me.
Oh, wow, that's pretty.
Great.
And it's pretty girl, too, so,
yeah.
I mean, it fits perfectly. Now, I was introduced to you yesterday by Tammy, who said that you are aspiring to be, maybe would like to be one of the wild card competitors here at some point, and you would love to do it this first year, but you were too young.
Yes, I was 17 and I was supposed to be 18.
Ah, so you could potentially in the future here?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Now, how long have you been training horses?
I've been training horses for about 5 or 6 years.
5 or 6 years?
Yes.
Wow. And from scratch with colts and mare, you know, fillies?
Yes. Where I've learned a lot of my stuff is DVDs and watching horse training DVDs and stuff from a lot of the top trainers and them, so... like Clinton Anderson and John Lyons and Pat Pirelli and et cetera, et cetera.
And you're from Texas, right?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so. When they go into the ring today, what do you think is going to be the most, I can ask this to both of you because you're both trainers, what's going to be the hardest part of dealing with these horses? What's the hardest part of dealing with them? What's the hardest part of getting them to the point where they trust you and you're moving on to actual training?
Well, I would say the hardest part is getting their trust, and you have to get it just right so they know that you're not going to hurt them, but also they know to respect you and move when you ask them to.
And that's a fine line, isn't it, Ellie?
Yeah, it is. And I think because you never know what that horse is going to be like until you get in that pen with the horse, essentially. So I think being prepared to tailor yourself and your tools to fit with that horse so that you can get working together.
Jennifer wants to know, that's a funny question, at what point can we expect the fireworks?
The point you can expect the fireworks is if you haven't done your preparation and...
You put the saddle on, right? Is that when you get fireworks, Ellie, is when the saddle goes on?
Not to get them.
Try not to get it.
But I do my best when I work with a horse is to work with them so I limit the fireworks.
Yeah.
You've got them to the point where when you put that saddle on and you tighten that cinch up, they're ready for that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hopefully.
A lot of the horses that I start, not all of them, it's not all of them, a lot of them for saddle, first ride, they never buck.
What?
But it's because I work them so I stay at that line.
We've had this conversation on this show before about whether there are hopeless horses. There are horses that just, they're just too tough, and they don't want to do this for a living. And do you believe that? Do you believe that there are this very tiny, small percentage of horses that just maybe have a screw loose?
Yeah.
Well, you're honest. And you know what? I've talked to a lot of trainers that don't want to admit that there are those horses, that every horse can be saved. Ellie, do you agree with her?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it's just like people as well. Like,
that they can have birth defects.
Good analogy.
There are horses that you can take and you can train that have problems, and I've seen horses that have been, like, bottle raised or whatever that have been pampered and they just turn mean. Those horses, some of those horses can be trained, but the average person wouldn't want them because they would just revert right back to what they were.
Yeah, Jennifer made a good point. She says training and trustworthy are two different things. You can have a horse that's trained and not trustworthy.
Yeah.
And will never be trustworthy. And then you have the ones that are the sneaky ones about it. We all know who they are. We had a horse once that this horse was great. His name was Chip. It was Appaloosa. And this horse was great. If you go out on the trail, he was great. And then but once on every ride, he knew exactly when you relaxed enough that he could crow hop and dump your butt. And he did it to everybody that rode that horse. It didn't care. I don't care how good you were. He was going to lull you into a sense of security. And that's when you get in trouble on the trail, isn't it? Is when they lull you in, and then there's that one crow hop, and you're on the ground. Now, I did hear, and I'm not going to say who, that there was a wild card trainer yesterday morning that ended up on the dirt on his horse. That did not happen last night during the show, so that was good. But he did end up in the dirt yesterday morning and was a little concerned that was going to happen in front of all those people. And it's hard, too, because these horses aren't used to a crowd of loud, obnoxious people either.
Right.
How do you train them for that?
Well, the way I train them is I just expose them to everything I can, like tarps and plastic bags and stuff, and once they can stand the pressure of that, and they trust you, usually you don't have a whole lot of problems. Maybe a little jumpy the first time.
Even with this large crowd of people?
It's interesting. And what I was sort of thinking about last night is the energy behind the crowd as well. Like, it's a positive energy, and horses pick up on those little things as well. So I think that it translates as well.
And I think part of it is whether the horse is jumpy or not. Whether the horse is jumpy or not depends on whether the person is nervous or it depends on what the person's doing too.
Yeah, we're talking a lot about the horses, but the riders here, the wild card riders, a lot of them have not been in front of a crowd this size. This is their first time as well. I mean, they're all horse trainers. They've been doing it for years, but different training the horse in the round pen at home with you in the sky and the birds and having 8,000 loud, screaming people.
Right.
And some of these riders had large contingencies of fan groups. This one right down here, I forget which one it was for. I mean, it was had 50 people. There were signs. It was like being at a football game. It is fun that way because I'm so used to going to dressage competitions and things like that where everybody's
very quiet.
Don't talk and you clap with your golf clap, golf clap, Here there's no golf clapping. It's hooting and hollering and yelling and screaming. And that gets even more so as we go through this weekend. Have you been here before? There to the horses your first
last
time?
Last year?
And what did you think? What did you take away from it when you left? Obviously you took away you wanted to be a competitor.
Yes, sir. Big thing that I took away is some new training methods. What works on one horse doesn't always work on another. So if I've got sort of a little timer in my head of if this doesn't work, then I'll try this and then this and then this until I finally find something that works. And I've just took away some more knowledge of how to work with horses. And if this doesn't work, try this. So
you have a lot more bullets in your gun, so to speak, just speaking Tammy terms. Well, it's been nice to meet you. Do you have a website or a Facebook page?
A Facebook page.
Give that out.
Shama Keenan Boss Boss Horsemanship, and I'm on Instagram. That's Boss Boss Horsemanship.
And is it all pretty pictures of you riding your colts and horses?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, we've had she's just adorable, isn't she?
She is. She's cool.
Yeah, and it's, 17 years old?
Yeah, what an inspiration. That is really neat. And I think it's cool that she's got involved as well to, help get to her dream.
And she's actually helping Tammy this weekend. She's been helping out here all weekend and, helping do some of the logistical stuff. So she'll be ready. She'll be ready when she comes into that arena and when
she
she's doing the clinics. What's that?
We need some more girls.
Yes, we do. I was just talking, I saw Tootie Bland this morning on the way in, and I'd never met her in person. We've interviewed her 100 times, but I've never met her in person. And I said, that's the one thing. We do need more girls. And she said, the girls are starting to step up now. So.
Good.
You, Ellie, you need to be competing here in a couple of years.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Representing New Zealand. So now our next guest up here is, we're going to get a little flavor of Kentucky and a little flavor of one of the other things that happens here. And I noticed when they opened the gates yesterday, there were people lined up for a half a block around the building. And the first thing everybody did, and it's what everybody wants to do when they come to events like this, and that's shop.
Absolutely.
So we have Katie here from Central Kentucky TAC. How are you, Katie?
Good. How are you guys today?
Good. So Central Kentucky TAC has been around for what, 30 years, 20 years?
Well, Central Kentucky TAC has been under the current ownership since 2005. We're located at the Thoroughbred Training Center here in Lexington, Kentucky, and there's actually been a TAC shop there for, about 30 years. It's changed hands a couple of times and certainly increased in size over the years, but we still maintain a working leather shop and provide products to horsemen in the area.
And, of course, thoroughbred horse training is big in this area. So.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
One of the coolest things about coming back, I haven't been here since we moved away from here 2 years ago. One of the coolest things coming back, and Ellie's going to appreciate this because I'm sure she saw it too, is all the babies in the field.
All the babies?
Yes.
When I was flying in, I don't think I've ever been so excited landing anywhere before. I'm like, oh, look at all the horses and the paddocks.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an exciting time of year.
You've seen a lot of big ranches and things, but the farms here in Lexington are just, because of the fencing and everything, are just so beautiful.
It is. It's gorgeous.
And they're all well-maintained, but right now the little babies that are 2 weeks old to a month old are all out in the fields, and it's just so cute.
Yeah.
It is. Foals are a lot of fun. You never know what kind of personalities you're going to get. It's an exciting time. We do a lot of business with the brood mares and the breeding shed runs. It's a high time for that. So a lot of people coming through, and it's just great to talk with people about their prospects hitting the ground and, just the different personalities.
Now, I saw Basic Tipton had a ton of cars yesterday. Was there an auction going on?
Gosh, I honestly don't know.
Well, they were having a big party or something because there was a ton of cars there at the auction house yesterday. Now, you guys are, obviously are involved intimately with the racing side of things here and the training, especially a lot of the horses that are where you are will end up racing at Keeneland and racing out there.
Right.
And Keeneland starts their beginning of April, right? Their spring season. Yeah.
Exactly. So we'll start seeing people arriving back from all the nice warm places they wintered at.
Florida.
Yes.
California.
Lucky ducks. But there are people that do hold down the fort while you're gone, and they're going to start increasing their training, and we'll see an influx of our regulars come back. It's always a nice time as well. That way we can catch up with their successes, see how they're doing, and look forward to their racing prospects. Keeneland is a really fun time. At the store, we don't get to see a lot of their successes immediately. We see them a lot, keep in touch with them. But when you go out to Keeneland and see them at their prime time, see them doing what they do best, it's just really exciting.
Do you see some of the famous jockeys and trainers come in and stuff?
We see some.
Yeah.
We see some.
They mostly send their people to shop.
Exactly. we do a lot of business with a lot of different people. We're so close to the horse park here that we get a lot of people that are in English riding, jumping, dressage, eventing, but we also get the Western and we get the racetrack folks. So we have a really eclectic customer base, which makes our store a lot of fun. You never know what's going to come in. Last year we did repairs for people that were out here at this event, but we do get some of the top trainers, some of the top riders. The landscape of Lexington has changed a little bit. We're starting to get more of the performance horses moving in, so it's really exciting. We've been fortunate to meet a lot of top riders, and it always keeps, you get to watch them, and it just is an exciting part for the staff here at the store to be involved in their successes and to provide that service to them the best way we can.
When we had the World Equestrian Games here in 2010, one of the hopes was that that would happen, that more and more of the jumper riders, the dressage riders, the eventers would find Lexington to be a good place, even if for the summer house. And that's happening. There are a lot more eventers and jumpers with the farms around here. And part of what's happened, too, is – some of these farms are being broken up into, instead of 1,000-acre farms, they're being broken up into smaller places. So they actually afford it. That's the other thing.
Well, and that's just it. And it's a pleasure to me. I've been in Lexington myself for about 8 years, and it certainly has changed. What excites me about the performance horses coming in is that that farmland is still being maintained as farmland. It's still being used for horses. So while it's changed from thoroughbred operations, we're still keeping in mind that this is an equine area. So it's an exciting change to see. I think it's going to be a really good thing for Lexington. I think it's going to open a lot of doors for even just the residents here to get involved in a lot of different horse disciplines and not just racing. And so that's going to be really nice. You know, there's going to be a lot of different shows, a lot of different people and type of horses coming in, which, you know, as a horse enthusiast, I'm just excited all around.
Well, Katie, thank you for stopping by. Give out the website.
It's www.centralkentuckytackandleather.com. Everything's all spelled out, but you can certainly Google us or find us on Facebook as well.
Or if you're in Kentucky, stop by and visit the store.
Absolutely.
For sure, it's literally about 3 miles from here.
Yes, it is. Right there on Paris Pike. You make one turn from the horse park. That's it.
And there might be a few people who might recognize Katie's voice because she used to be, you were on here before when you were with Kentucky Performance Products, which is our sponsor for today. So you used to be with Kentucky Performance Products and used to do updates with us.
Yeah. I was so happy to see you, Glenn.
That's years ago now, isn't it?
It is. Time passes so fast, but it was a good time, a good opportunity then, and it's just great to see you again and work with you. It's been a real pleasure.
Good to talk to you, Katie.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, one of the things that we do at every show we go to, we kind of make it our mission, Ellie, is to find a Best Booth Award.
Yeah.
And we found one yesterday. I don't know. We were in retail. Jennifer and I were in retail. We had our own store for a very long time. And we used to go to these shows and set up, and we realized what a pain in the butt it is and how, you know, it's either raining. On setup day, it's always raining, cold, windy, or snowing. It never fails. It's one of those things on setup day at a show.
I think I've had
all of them, right? True.
Yeah.
It sure was snowing on setup day, wasn't it?
It was.
And then we walk around, and we try and find the best booth award, and we try and find the best decorated and also the best people in the booth. And we had one. Ellie and I were walking around, and Ellie agreed. We both were like, this is the best booth. There was no question about it. And part of the reason is it's because of Tara Carter and your hat. I mean, that is part of the reason. Tara Carter, your booth is the best booth award for sure.
Thank you.
Come about 1 inch from the mic.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yes, it was terrific. Now, tell us what you do, though. What does Carter do?
Well, we're Carter Ranch Horse, and so my husband, Trevor Carter, he's one of the wild cards, and he and I take horses in for development and training, and then we travel the country teaching, and then we also have a program that people can learn at their homes that's tailored to them and their horses. So.
And you do sell stuff, because there's stuff for sale over there.
We carry some traditional type vaquero gear, and it's all the things that Trevor uses and that we use, so we just tried to bring a little bit of our tack room here and have that feel and look to it.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
I actually posted a picture on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning this morning that we took yesterday.
Oh, yes.
So that's up there of Tara and I standing together. And see, all the listeners know that I have this habit of finding the pretty girls and getting pictures with them. So you will not be disappointed. Let's just say that.
Thank you.
Tara, where are you out of?
We are in Clovis, New Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that like in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico?
No, it's actually right on the panhandle of Texas. People give us a hard time that we're really still in Texas, but we're actually New Mexico. So.
Your accent's not quite as strong.
No, that's right. Well, actually, the panhandle of Texas has a really strong accent, so I'm not sure. We travel a bunch, so maybe that's why. Maybe it's a little diluted.
So he was competing here.
Yes, that's right.
And last night.
Yes.
And were you proud?
I'm always proud of Trevor. He always goes out and shows what he stands for. He lets the competition come second, and so I'm always proud of Trevor and what he does.
I did see that in the obstacle course last night with all the competitors, really, when they didn't push those horses to do something they weren't ready to do.
Yep.
They were very patient with them, which is, you know, when you take a look at some other competition. Did you find that also, Ellie?
Yeah, that was really cool. I enjoyed that.
It was noticeable.
Yeah.
And I think the audience appreciated that, too.
For sure. And these guys, a lot of these guys, they bought their horses. They know they're with these horses for a long time. So it's not worth sacrificing the long-term goal just for this one thing, and so they know they want those horses to be willing for a long time.
And as we heard from Adam, you, one of the other competitors here earlier, who's a hoot, you know, he is a working cowboy.
Yep.
So he's using his horses for what they were really meant to be used for, and he has to trust that horse to be in the saddle for 12, 14 hours a day.
Yep. That's right. Yeah, same for Trevor. Like, just like, and Adam and Trevor were actually roommates in college.
Oh, really?
And they're both, I think, you know, one of the
drinking buddies?
Yeah, I don't know about all that. But,
I just had Shorty on a little while ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure there was a lot of fun involved, especially with Adam, too. But, yeah, they're one of the two that they're always out there using their horses for a job. So, and that's what we try to base our business on, is that a horse that has a real purpose and has a lot of experience can go and do anything. And if it doesn't quite work out, you still have a partner at the end of it, and eventually you'll get to where you're going. So.
You know, sometimes we forget. We're in the horse business. You know, we have a horse radio network, you know, with 12 shows. And you're in the horse business, but sometimes we forget that there are a lot of cowboys out there still on the ranch using these horses with cows.
Mm-hmm.
We overlook that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real – they really do have to depend on their horse to be there when they need them, because, you know, some things are predictable in a show, or you know the size of the arena, but you don't always know, and you don't always know if a fence is down, or there's just so many variables. So it's a different level of trust and a relationship. So it's really interesting.
And there we talked about the weather. I mean,
yep.
Those cows have to be worked, and all of that has to be done no matter what the weather.
That's right. Yeah, we gathered. We were out saving babies. We were calving in 18-degree weather and snow, and they were out there riding horses and checking. And
now, do you have one of those 12-mile ranches? Or?
It goes away. Yeah.
Does it?
Sometimes, yeah.
You haven't been to Texas yet.
No.
Oh, my God. You'll drive for 2 hours, and it's the same ranch.
Wow. Yeah, well, Texas takes a whole day to get through anyway. So.
Yeah, and you'll just be on the same guy's property, and you're going, how do they do this?
Yeah.
I mean, we all have our 10 acres, and we think that's a lot to take care of,
and
you know?
And it's all worked off horses.
You what?
It's all worked off horseback?
Yes. Yeah, wow. We don't use any four-wheelers or anything like that. I mean, we use, you know, trucks and trailers, but yes.
Some of the farms have gone to the four-wheelers and then have gone back to the horses.
Yeah.
Which I find interesting.
Yeah, it just depends, you know. And, like, we still try to use our horses for all the spring works and the branding, and it just gives the horse a new level of development, you know. So, and the way Trevor tries to do it, it's all low stress and certain type of rope. And so we try to make it as easy on the animals because the horses and the cattle, they're a big part of our livelihood.
Yeah, they are your livelihood.
Yeah.
I mean, training is part of it, too.
That's right.
But you still have those cattle to pay the bill.
That's right.
How many heads?
Grass and rain.
How many heads?
It's about 60. We're a small little herd.
Small? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beef, I assume.
Beef. We raise Hereford cows. You'll actually see them today. We supplied Trevor and a couple of the other contestants with cows. So we came all the way from New Mexico with cows, horses, and that booth.
Oh, geez.
We were a convoy.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
Did you do it all in a straight shot?
We took about 3 days. Like, we took our time.
Yeah,
so.
You would have had to. That's a haul. You know, it sounds close. New Mexico, Kentucky should be right beside each other.
Yeah.
No.
Two time zones away. Yeah.
Where can people find you online?
CarterRanchHorse.com.
CarterRanchHorse.com. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you guys. A little something for y'all.
Oh, we got gifts.
Cute.
Oh, she definitely wins.
Aww.
There's no question now. See, she knows. She knew.
Aww.
She knew how to do it.
Wait.
All right. Thank you. Trevor's
thank
horse
you.
Switch.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to see who wins the competition. I will tweet and post that on our Facebook page this afternoon, who wins the wild card competition, to see who goes on to pick their horse out for the competition over the next 3 days today. You're probably very excited because before we wrap here, this is one of your goals, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's a big goal of mine. So I hope to be here one day, and I'm watching closely as to how the trainers manage their time and even just the whole event itself. So.
They are kind of like rock stars here, so it's tough because they can't walk through the halls without getting stopped 50 times.
Yeah, that's right.
They really do have to manage their time.
Yeah, they do. Uh-huh. And I think a lot of it is like sitting down and thinking about how they're going to work it. And but I guess at the end of it comes down to when you're out there with the horse. So.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much to our sponsors for today, Cashel Products and Kentucky Performance Products, for being there for us and for allowing us to provide this live coverage here at the Road to the Horse competition at the Kentucky Horse Park. Thank you so much to Ellie O'Brien. How can people follow you?
I'm on Facebook. It's under Ellie O'Brien Finesse Equestrian Training.
If you just search for Ellie O'Brien, she pops up.
Yeah.
And it's O, one of those doohickeys, and then Brian. I don't know. What is that?
I-E-N.
Yeah, I-E-N. That's right. It's yeah. E-L-L-I-E. And we got to give your other half a little love here quick. What's his name?
Hayden Peterson.
Hayden Peterson, yep. If he's listening at home right now. Hello, Hayden. Hayden is working hard. He is a professional race car driver.
He is, yep. And he's just getting geared up to start his season in the next month. So, yeah.
Now, does he have a team yet? Is he looking for a team? Is he in that process?
I'm not too sure. I've been focused on horses the last little while, so... I'm sure he's got it all covered.
But he really got to the level where he needed to come to the United States at this point, right?
Yes. Yeah. Last year he was based in California, so he decided to make the move over to Charlotte this year because that's where it's
That's where it is.
Yeah, that's
You have to live in Charlotte, you're going to drive.
Yeah.
Well, that means that you're going to be on the big bus in the infield of the races, standing on top of the big bus with your Bud Light, watching him go around. Do you get nervous seeing him going 200 miles an hour around the track?
I don't know. I don't think so because I know probably what it's like for him to watch me work with horses, and I know what I'm doing with a horse, and he knows what he's doing with his car. So
we have some co-hosts with Jamie, normal co-host here. Husband is a F-16 fighter pilot.
Wow.
So, and now you're here with a NASCAR driver. I mean, that is just cool. We have some co-hosts. Extreme sports is right. Well, we wish Trevor the best of luck, too. By the way, for the ladies out there, he looks like a NASCAR driver. So, yeah, you won't be disappointed when you see his picture.
Yeah.
Ellie picked well.
Well, he picked me.
Well, he picked well, too. That's it for today. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for producing and back and staying back at Ocala to make this all happen and taking care of a lot of the other shows here on the Horse Radio Network. I'm going to still be in Lexington. I will be coming to you live. Jamie will be back on Monday, and I'll be coming to you live from the offices of High Visibility Sportswear. That's what we'll be broadcasting from on Monday morning. I hope to get a bunch of interviews here over the weekend with our friends, and we'll play those for you on Monday as well. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all the listeners who stopped by to say hi yesterday. And if you are here and you're listening to this, please try and find me. I'll be near the booth or around all day long. Say hi. We'd love to meet you. Thank you, Ellie.
No worries. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Jennifer. Have a good day, everybody. Be safe. Get your cowboy hat out. It's going to be this weekend. Ellie, we need to buy you one.